Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson, and as always, we are broadcasting from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in One Glen Lake Plaza in sensational Sandy Springs. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's remind you first to make sure you're connected with us on social media at Business Radio X, and we also are on Twitter for the show here, Atlanta Business Radio, at Atlanta Biz Radio, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. And you can connect with me personally as well at Ryan Redhawk. And also check us out on Facebook. You'll see all the photos and leave your thoughts and comments there of today's in-studio guests. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to Atlanta Business Radio a full group of in-studio guests here today. Let's go around the table and say hello first to Warren Shiver and Michael Perla. How you doing, guys?
Morning.
Good. Good morning.
Yeah, and you're with Symmetrics Group, is that right?
Yep.
Just share with our listeners briefly what you'll be sharing with them about Symmetrics Group here today.
Well, Ryan, we just published a book around Salesforce transformation. So our company works with companies that have large business-to-business sales forces, and we're going to talk about how do you drive a sustainable change with a sales team.
That's kind of a large pool to be playing in right there. Lots of players in that space. But what separates you guys from everyone else?
Basically, we have a focus on sales effectiveness and sales transformation. So there's a lot of players out there that's part of what they do, but this is our total focus, really our capability and competency.
All right, fantastic. We look forward to hearing more about that. So please be patient and stay with us. Let's also introduce to the studio Gwen Garrison. She is with Life Plan Financial Advisors. Good morning, Gwen.
Good morning, Ryan.
All right, Life Plan Financial Advisors. This is something you started yourself many years ago. Tell us about that.
I started a third career as a financial advisor after spending a lot of time doing marketing, advertising, and PR. And I took those communication skills into a one-on-one setting to help people understand complicated information and make better decisions.
Wow. So we look forward to hearing more about that as well. So please stay with us and listeners as well. Let's introduce our leadoff interview here today. We have two representatives from Scout. We have President Mark Goldman and Vice President, Director of Client Services, Cheryl Mayer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Ryan.
All right. So we're going to talk about Scout. Tell us, what is Scout?
What is Scout? Scout is a very independent marketing services agency. Been in business for almost 17 years, three offices across the United States, 110 employees currently.
Okay.
So it's a very diversified and integrated marketing services.
Based here in Atlanta?
Based in, here in Atlanta.
And it was founded here in Atlanta as well?
It was. The two co-founders. One actually is still here. He serves as the executive creative director. And the other lives and operates and runs the San Diego office.
How long have you been involved with the organization?
2 years.
2 years. Tell us about your background previous to that.
Okay. I'm probably the oldest in the room. So I go back in the New York advertising community into the late 1970s. So just after Mad Men era type thing. But still some remnants of the Mad Men era. And grew up mostly at Ogilvy and Mather, now referred to as Ogilvy. After that, I worked for a company in Knoxville, Tennessee called Whittle Communications. Moved to Atlanta when two young entrepreneurs in the ad business, Joel Babbitt and Joey Ryman, hired me to sort of be their executive managing director. From there, Joel and I, after that, started our own company called 360, which we sold to Gray Global, a big agency group in New York. Did that for 7 years. And then I became a client, went over to the dark side and and worked as the chief marketing officer for Viking Range Corporation for a couple of years.
That's a name we've heard here in the studio a couple of times, Viking Range Corporation. But you've been at Scout for 2 years, and you're the president over there. Tell us, from your perspective, what separates Scout from the other players out there?
Well, I think our independence helps. So we're not part of a large agency group. We're very agile. I think also the way that we try to develop employees, we encourage employees to what we call bring their brave to the office every day. So be brave is our motto and our sort of driving statement of mission. And we try to apply that all the time. And what we do, we encourage employees to have their own brave outside of the office. And we're always looking for new ways of thinking, insight. We're very insight driven. So meaning we need to understand how consumers think, feel, act, what's bothering them, their issues, et cetera. And if we have a good finger on that pulse, then we can drive great communication for our clients' brands.
So understanding, being brave, and knowing your clients for sure. Cheryl, I understand you guys are an expert in moms. How did you come to be that?
Sure. Well, we're lucky enough to have several clients that target the mom demographic and parents in general. So a lot of times we talk about moms, and I think we should really think about anybody who's parenting a child, okay, right? Whether they're married, single, you know, male, female. But we are lucky enough to have a lot of clients that target the mom demographic. So if you think about the experience we have in all the different research initiatives with all of those clients, all the different analytics that we get from all those clients, it's a natural. It mm-hmm. happens that we now become this kind of hub of information and insights around moms.
Yeah.
And we've actually decided this past year in 2015 to take that a bit further and start to create some innovative products and services for our clients around that insight. So one of the things we launched last year is our own proprietary research panel of moms that we reach out to on a monthly basis to gain insights just for us, for the insight work, the strategy that we do, but we also offer that as a service to our clients. So where a lot of times you want to reach out to a group and get some insights, it can be months, it can be tens of thousands of dollars to do a focus group or even do online research. So we offer a very efficient, quick, and cost-effective way to get to those insights. And it's led by their brand agency, their strategic lead. So it's a win-win.
Right. So you're doing it for yourself, but you're also doing it for your clients.
Yes.
And if I'm a new product maker out there and my product is there to service moms, I can come to your organization and you can begin to show me the path to really targeting that consumer group out there.
Absolutely. And it all starts with that key insight. One of the things that we do is we reach out, we keep the pulse of the parenting community, and we find movements that are already happening. And we help brands understand how to join that movement and mm-hmm. be a part of it. I think a lot of times clients who target moms have their message and they want to go out and they want to preach that message. That doesn't work. You have to attach to something that's already there and then help create momentum around it. So that's one of the things that we specialize in.
And it's evolving. Today's success is not next week's or next month's, next year. So you've got to stay current on what are the trends in the industry and what are your consumer market. What are they really wanting out there? And moms, that's changing. How does technology play into a lot of this?
Well, I think it's very helpful, but it's also, it confuses and complicates things as well, right? So where you used to be able to do a large awareness campaign and go on broadcast and radio and reach all of your target, that just doesn't happen anymore. With everybody streaming video, everything is so picked apart in different pieces. And at times, multiple, mediums are being used at the same time. So understanding how the TV that's on works with the social campaign that's on at the same time. So I love the challenge of having to figure out those kind of micro moments to connect with mom. But to me, it's all about that core insight and making sure every way that you're touching them across all of these different media and technology is helping them with their life. Like, how can a brand truly add value? Because that's when you're going to get that loyalty and engagement.
Right. And then a lasting relationship will be formed on those. So you're Senior Vice President, Director of Client Services. What does that role look like for you on a daily basis? What does a day in the office look like for Cheryl?
Babysitting.
Babysitting him. No, I'm just kidding. total joke.
Right.
So every day is different, which is part of why I love this industry. It's why I love Scout. I've actually been with Scout for 13 years. We've grown so much over that time, and I love the constant change of the environment and the ability to innovate, the ability to drive strengths in our team. But I lead the account service team. So I'm really working with my team to set the strategies, to make sure that the client's taken care of, make sure that the process and the work that we're doing is on strategy and the creative is great. Mm-hmm. But also Mark and I work together. I work with him and support on how are we growing the agency? How are we building our talent? How are we really focusing on the strengths of our employees, adding where the gaps are? And how can we constantly innovate so that we're better tomorrow for our clients than we were today? We have a lot of very long-standing clients and very tight relationships. Some clients we've had for over 6 years, which is kind of unheard of in this industry. And I think it's because we are constantly challenging ourselves to bring new value every day and never rest on what we did yesterday.
So your clients are longtime loyal supporters and have been with you a while. Who are some of these type of clients? Can you explain those to our listeners?
Sure. let's start with Rich Products, Rich Foods, based up in Buffalo. They have a subsidiary or subdivision called Farm Rich.
Okay.
And also CPAC. So Farm Rich is all about frozen appetizers. And you probably, or maybe you've heard of them, but they are the second largest brand in that category. And CPAC is the same sort of frozen appetizers, but obviously in the seafood area. And they are a wonderful client. They sit in St. Simon's, not too bad visiting them. As Cheryl said, they've been a long time client. Another great client of ours is Flowers Foods. So Flowers Foods is a Fortune 500 company. It sits in Thomasville, Georgia. If you're not sure where that is, it's 30 minutes from the Florida border, Tallahassee, that is. Great bunch of people sitting on the largest bread brand in the United States called Nature's Own, right? Which is a billion-dollar brand in and of itself. And they have a lot of other products as well. We work with a company called Invista, which is owned by Koch Industries, and they are a big player in the commercial and consumer flooring or surfaces segment. So those are just a few of the clients. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention the brands of Invista are Antron, which is a commercial brand, but Stainmaster, which I'm sure you guys have heard of.
Right.
And also we have a great local client, Delta Community Credit Union, that we've been working with for over 4 years.
So you have a combination of some B2B, some B2C, you know, some big industry, some small niche marketing as well. But so you're able to service a wide range of clients along those lines.
I think that's right. I think that's one of our success stories is that we can tune ourselves very nicely to whatever level of activity or interaction a client really demands. Some clients prefer, which is a trend in our business, to be on more of a project basis, meaning that they want us to attend to certain specific projects that have a very well-defined beginning, middle, and end. And other clients, like Flowers and Farm Rich, we are working on their business every day.
I always like to find out from a marketing agency, how are you actively out there marketing your services?
Okay, well, we have a very disciplined program that involves three different things. One is we try to maintain a close relationship with a group called Pitch Consultants.
Okay.
So these are professionals that handle agency reviews. They can be very powerful. I mean, if clients quite often go to them, hire them to find agencies for specific needs.
So it's like a Better Business Bureau or something of that for the marketing agency itself.
In a sense, right? I mean, you need to be on their radar screens and you need to be able to have a relationship with them so that when there's a pitch, you're in the discussion, you're on the screen. We maintain a vigorous public relations effort, which is all around content development, which Cheryl does a lot for in terms of generating content.
So you mean like blog posts, your social media campaigns, things like that?
All of that. We have, I mean, our blog post is called Big Brave Ideas, and you can find it bigbraveideas.com, and there's a lot of good stuff there, right? But we're also sending out, we're trying to reach out to media for publication and so forth. So we're aggressive about that. And lastly, I mean, there is nothing like current business for new business.
Right. Referrals.
Right. Well, not only referrals, but growth. I mean, so just today, I won't say what it is, just today, Cheryl and her group got additional business from the CPAC group. So you do that because you are demonstrating every day your value to clients. That is our job, is to create value for our clients' brands. And I think we do that tremendously.
Well, it sounds like this good effort is trickling down from the top all the way through the entire organization over there. So we are certainly resonating that with your mission here at Business Radio X. You know, do good work and good business will find you. So let's just ask you a couple other personal questions before we get out of here. So I see that you're sitting on a number of boards, Mark, here with the Atlanta Ballet. And what's some ways that you personally give back as well as Scout gives back to the community here in Atlanta?
Well, Scout is very active. I mean, we spend a lot of time, you know, doing individual things as they come about. So that's one thing. If there is a fundraising thing that we're interested in, our icon, if you will, is a dog. So dogs are important.
Love dogs.
Okay, well, Why? Because they're loyal,
yep.
they're brave, and they're committed, mm-hmm. right? So we think that that represents us very, very well. So we do a lot of things related to dogs, not the least of which is that we have a policy in-house that if you are willing to adopt a dog or any pet, we will pay for that.
For the adoption fee.
For the adoption
That's
fee.
That's fantastic.
So we're very, very committed to that. The other is we just started working with a foundation called the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation. You probably haven't heard of it. It's New York based, but it might suggest something to do with 9/11.
Yes.
And it does. I won't get into the whole story. You should go online and read it. But we have now started working with them because they also have a subgroup or sub-brand called Building for America's Bravest. And it's a developmental fund that gives tragically wounded, horribly wounded vets a chance to build their lives back by giving them a home that is customized for them. And if you see, you know, how horribly altered they are. I mean, it is just a wonderful thing that they can move into a house and they can actually access things and get around because it was built for them. So it's very meaningful for us and we're very committed to that. And so to me, that's as important as all the boards that I serve.
Right, right. And being involved. Go ahead, Cheryl.
No, I was just going to mention one other thing that we started this year. And it was an idea that actually came to us from our employees. So we can't take credit from it for it. But we actually give every employee 2 days a year to volunteer. It's in addition to their personal time, in addition to sick, in addition to vacation. So if they have to propose what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. But we encourage our whole team to give back in many ways. So I just think that's another unique way that
absolutely, because you do it as a personal level, you want to do it as an organization, and you certainly would just want to help all those who need help. And you got to pick your lane and stay there, whether it's mm-hmm. Helping animals or you're helping homeless or you're helping veterans along the way. Either way, I think that's great. So yeah, anything else coming up in 2016 for Scout that we should be putting on our radar to look out for? Any new initiatives or places you may be, trade shows, something like that?
Well, we're hopeful that we're going to be on the agenda for the Advertising Age Small Business Seminar, which takes place during the summer. Won't get into it, but we have some really good ideas. One involved Cheryl and one of her clients that will do a case study, which is really a great, cool thing mm-hmm. that they can do. We also, on our staff, we have 3 professional improvisers. They're with Dad's Garage.
Yes.
I'm very proud to give them that plug. If you've never been to any improv, go to Dad's Garage, and I'm sure it'll change your life.
We encourage that too, right?
Okay. So anyway, it has informed a lot of the way that Scout thinks. And hopefully for this seminar, 2 of our illustrious improvisers are going to do something that they're preparing as a TED Talk, but would be, you know, the why improv helps brands develop kind of a better, higher order creative position. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah, so stay tuned for more listeners and lovers of Scout as they will be bringing some new initiatives and new ideas to market out there. Please share with our listeners how they can find out more information about yourself or Scout.
Well, you can go ahead and go to our website at www.findscout.com. Or, Mark, do you want to give your personal home address and contact
email, LinkedIn?
You can email me easily at mgoldman@findscout.com. I get more emails that I don't recognize, so another one won't matter.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to more great things coming from you and your organization in 2016. If we can help you further your voice, amplify your message, we'd be happy to do so here. And come on back and be a guest again here on Atlanta
thank
Business
you.
Radio. My
thank
pleasure.
You.
And we love improv too, by the way. I've taken a few classes. Helped me be a better listener and a better talker.
Yes.
And listening is part of being a good host as well. So thank you again. And listeners, make sure you're connected with us on social media, at Business Radio X on Twitter and Atlanta Biz Radio on Twitter, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. All right, let's reintroduce back to the program, Gwen Garrison, Life Plan Financial Advisors. How are you, Gwen?
I'm doing great.
Good. And so you're joining us here today. Tell us a little bit about your background and what led you up to be a financial advisor.
I'd be happy to. Before I do that, though, I need to read a disclosure.
Please,
that's
go ahead.
Required by FINRA. The information provided is intended for general information purposes only and is not intended to provide specific investment advice or recommendations for any individual. It is suggested that you consult with your tax, legal, or financial services professional regarding your individual situation. The views expressed may not necessarily reflect those of Investacorp, Inc. Gwen Garrison is securities licensed through Investacorp, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Investacorp Advisory Services, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisory firm.
Phew. Okay.
All right. Now right. we can talk.
And they say the industry is not regulated.
No kidding.
Right. So, yes, your background, what brought you to, you founded Life Plan Financial Advisors, right?
I did indeed. I had been in another career in advertising and PR, and it just was really, really demanding for someone who had three children under five, and I owned my own small agency and had nine employees, and it was just too much. So mm-hmm. I just shut everything down and said, okay, I got to find something where I can help people, but I don't have to have deadlines.
Okay. And the financial planning started coming alive there for you. I can't believe that. I don't see the connection just yet.
Well, what happened is during this time that I had been developing this other career, I'd also been doing some work with layperson counseling through the United Methodist Church called Stevens Ministry. And I also worked with a group called Al-Anon Family Groups that worked with families that were in crises from folks who had a drinking problem. And so I had developed some counseling and communication skills there in addition to what I had done with my career, which was primarily in high-tech and medical marketing and PR. So again, we're taking something complicated and trying to boil it down and share information so people can make good decisions about, is this product right for me or is it not?
Right.
Is this going to help me or is it not? So at the time I was coming into financial advisory and financial planning work, people primarily had stockbrokers who sold them stuff. They didn't have people that sat on their side of the table and said, help me understand what you're dealing with, and let's put our heads together and figure out the best solution for what you need, and we'll go find whatever mm-hmm. product or service it is that you need, instead of coming to the table with a book of products you're trying to shove in somebody's face.
Right, right. So you began to see this need out there. You began to do good work for some of your, who were your first early clients and adopters of your organization?
Primarily, it was just small business people.
Okay.
And as a small business person myself, I connected with them immediately. And we just talked about, okay, what keeps you up at night? You know, is it worrying about retirement? Is it worrying about how to educate your kids? Is it what happens if you get hit by a truck tomorrow? Mm. All right, let's tackle that. Let's figure it out.
Yeah, these are important life questions, and they change, you know, year to year as your family grows, as, you know, you may move for a job. So you've always got to be adjusting your financial plan for the long term.
Absolutely. Life is what happens when you're planning something else.
Right, right. And so other than offering specific investment advice, what other kind of value can you add to your clients?
Well, I think one of the biggest values is we come to the situation where we're looking at their needs and their concerns with full energy. They're working their business, they're working with their family, they're doing everything 10, 12, 14 hours a day. By the time they get to what we do, they're brain dead. They're mm-hmm. exhausted. It doesn't get to the top of the pile. So if I can sit with someone and say, okay, let's put together a financial plan for you and for your family, and I'm going to dole out tasks to you one at a time or two at a time so you don't get overwhelmed, and let's get this stuff done. And I'll be your accountability partner, and we'll figure out exactly how much time you got to do this, and we'll make it work.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of common mistakes that I imagine people are making out there. Can you share with our listeners, what, from your perspective, what are some of those common mistakes that people make when it comes to their financial plans?
I think one of the biggest things is that people have a sense of urgency when they're in a crisis. And we all get hit with this stuff. It might be a job loss. It might be a marriage, a divorce, an inheritance, loss of a spouse, a major move across the country. It throws us into adrenaline mode, and everything's got to be done right now. And I think one of the mistakes people make is they try to make decisions too quickly without enough time to calmly consider it and let their intuitive mind and heart give them a peaceful solution instead of just like, oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. And so part of what we can help them do is to say, look, let's break it down into now, soon, and later. If it doesn't have to be done right now, let's not do that. Mm-hmm. Because your emotional and mental and physical energy is primarily being drained away by this crisis. So let's take what little you've got left and apply it in really small, specific doses.
Well, you mentioned the now, the soon, the later. I'm really only focused on the now. I don't have a good retirement plan, to be honest with you, kind of relying on Social Security. So what are some things I can do now, today, to begin to put myself on a plan to success for later on in life?
Well, I think the first thing is to really get aware of what your money is doing. Where is it going? Have a name for every single dollar that comes through your household.
I don't do that.
And there are some super easy tools. The one we use at my house is called Envelopes with an M.
Okay.
Envelopes.
We'll look into that.
.com. It's a great little budgeting spending program you can have on your phone, your laptop, and your iPad, and it all syncs. So if you're out running errands with your family and your kids go, oh, let's go get pizza, you can, well, let's check our dining out envelope and see if there's any money in there before we do that.
I don't think so. Maybe there is some, but so that's one way you can daily budget. I mean,
it makes it easy.
Accounting for every nickel in your pocketbook.
Yeah, and if people have tools that make this easy, they're much more likely to do it.
Right.
Nobody's got time to spend 10 hours a month working on a cotton picking budget.
You're right.
They just don't have that.
Right. Now things get complicated too these days when we have families getting married, you know, a husband and a wife maybe have divorced. Now they're coming together in a new family. So you've got all these backgrounds and coming together. What are some of the pros and cons that you see from having a joint account?
Well, I am a big fan of his, mine, and ours. I'm also in a blended family and have been that way for almost 14 years. And I see a lot of blended families. But a lot of times people do come with baggage, financial baggage, emotional baggage. They may not have good habits around money, or they may have been through some traumas around money that give them really dangerous attitudes like, I need to spend it all now because my dad died at 50 and I don't need to save for retirement. I'm going to be dead too. I mean, I'm just giving you an example.
No, it's true.
Because people have harmful attitudes that have developed. And if each person is responsible for their own financial situation, as well as jointly contributing to the household, it stops a lot of the power struggles. And sometimes if we're fighting about money all the time, I just need to drop the rope. Mm-hmm. And make sure our family's provided for, but I don't have to control every dollar that you bring in the door.
That's very good advice. For those listeners who may have just joined us, we're talking with Gwen Garrison. She is with Life Plan Financial Advisors, Inc. You can reach out to her to get some information about how you can begin to get a good financial plan in order. There's always been some mystery out there for me about how financial planners get paid, right? You tell people how to save money, but along the lines, how do you end up generating income for yourself?
Well, there are three basic methods that financial advisors get paid. One is from products or services like mutual funds or annuities that people may be familiar with. That's called a commission. That way, the client doesn't come out of pocket. A good example where this might fit is if somebody had lost their job and they needed to roll over their 401k so they could take small pieces out of it at a time until they got another job. They probably wouldn't be real keen on writing a check for financial advice, but if they roll into a product that pays a commission, then they get that advisor paid and they're not out of pocket. A lot of people like doing an asset under management fee where somebody has a portfolio and the advisor may make 1% on that portfolio, and that covers the time that this person gives to them. Almost like a retainer with an advertising agency.
Okay.
It covers their time to give advice and to look after their account. And then the third way is for someone to actually just write a check. So, Ryan, let's say you were one of these do-it-yourselfers that wanted to manage all your own investments, but you really wanted to do a plan. We come on in, we give you an estimate for doing the plan, you just write me a check and go on and manage your own investments.
That's right.
So, to me, the best method is whatever method the client mm-hmm. appreciates and understands and feels comfortable with. And because I own the company, we can figure it out however they want to.
And it's not just a one-time transaction where they come in, you sell your services, and they're gone. This is something that evolves with them as their family grows, and you really become their go-to person for their whole life, if necessary.
Yes. There's a lot of clients that I've had since I started in 1997. Mm-hmm. And one client in particular, I remember, called me at 3 a.m. and said, we're having to take my wife off life support. Can you come be with us? And I was really honored that he cared that much to call and felt comfortable that I could help with that because I had been with their family through so many different things already.
Right. Well, that's definitely true. As you begin to, you know, evolve with the family and as their needs change and life-changing experiences like that, you go out there and be with them. And that's what just good business, right?
Well, and that's why I love doing this. I get up jazzed every morning because you can make a difference for people.
Yeah.
I can't control what the stock market does, but I can control how I help people.
No, for sure. So you are helping people and you're helping people in a good way. You're helping families. You're helping them save for retirement. And that's something that we're all struggling with. Even the younger generation to someone who may just be looking at retirement in the next few years. So having that good plan in place for retirement. Is there a number that you should have by the time you retire? Do you have an amount that you should rely on?
No, we can figure out that number that people need based on what their spending patterns are and what their mm-hmm. household costs are mm-hmm. and things like that. But typically, if you're systematically saving 15% a year of your gross income, that's a great thumbnail place to start.
It's a good place to start. So, all right. So, any other thoughts from you regarding 2016? Some big benchmarks you're looking forward to, or some exciting new times that we can help you amplify here at Business Radio X?
Well, LifePlan Financial Advisors has been very active with the Business Women's Network in Coweta County, and we are continuing to expand our programming there. We have speakers like Carol Tomei, who's the CEO. CFO of Home Depot. We've got the Elf on the Shelf lady coming in March. We've had the president of Morehouse Medical School come and speak. So we're trying to develop leadership among women and educate them financially on how to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Because women typically retire with less money than men and less financial security with men than men do. And so we hope to kind of help bring that up to par and help families do a whole lot better.
Yeah, no, so we can help you with that mission. We'd be happy to do so here at Business Radio X. So please let us know how we can get involved, and we'd love to explore ways to work together. So tell our listeners to how they can get involved with you or find out more information about your company.
Thanks. Our website is lifeplanfin.com. And you can go on there and see all about our products and services that we offer. And you can even schedule an appointment online for a telephone call or an in-person appointment.
All right. Sounds good. And you want to read your statement one more time? Please do.
Sorry to bore you.
No problem.
The information provided is intended for general confirmation purposes only and is not intended to provide specific investment advice or recommendations for any individual. It is suggested that you consult with your tax, legal, and/or financial services professional regarding your individual situation. The views expressed may not necessarily reflect those of Investicorp, Inc. Gwen Garrison is securities licensed through Investicorp, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Investicorp Advisory Services, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Thanks, Ryan.
All right. Thank you. And thank you, listeners, for being patient and staying with us as we now turn to our headlining guests. As we introduced at the beginning of the show and now hear a chance to go in more detail and talk about Symetrics Group and their new book, Warren Shiver and Michael Perla. How you doing, guys?
Hey, Ryan. Great.
All right. So who wants to share with me first? Tell me about Symetrics Group and what you're doing to serve the community.
Yeah, Ryan. So our disclosure, which I love, Gwen, you covered that.
Yeah.
Our disclosure is we're passionate about sales. So we work with companies that have large business-to-business field sales organizations and help them sell more products or services. So we started in 2010 here in Atlanta, national firm, work with companies large and small, and again, business-to-business focused.
Yeah, but sales can be a dirty word in some circles, right? How do you make sure that it stays clean with what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, you think about how the world of sales is changing. Think about for all of us, if you bought a car recently, right? The buyer is much more informed. There's a lot more information on the internet. That's true in a business-to-business sale as well. So we're passionate about helping companies and sales professionals themselves raise their game, so to speak, in terms of the value they provide, as opposed to being just a walking catalog.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, not what people want, that human interaction, want that personal attention. And you're able to do that for your clients.
That's right.
Yeah. So good. And so now you have this new book out, 7 Steps to Salesforce Transformation, Driving Sustainable Change in Your Organization. You guys co-authored this book?
Yes. Michael and I co-authored it. And we were passionate about it. If you Google on Amazon, there's more than 430,000 books on sales.
Yes,
so
right.
Why another book on sales? You have a couple on your bookshelf back there. And we were passionate about really dispelling the myth that there's some silver bullet that you can do from a sales training or a tool perspective around changing sales. It's really a holistic change, which we can talk about. It involves other functional areas like marketing, which I think our scout friends would appreciate. Mm-hmm. So it's really taking a look holistically at what do you have to do to sustainably change a sales force.
So why you two guys came come together on this book? Did you have an experience in sales out there that really, you know, kind of resonated with you that felt you needed to get your message out more? Or and why you two guys for this book particularly?
Yeah, so we both combine probably 40 years in kind of sales effectiveness consulting, from doing sales, managing sales, overlay, pre-sales, is all different aspects, sales operations, and then kind of sales effectiveness consulting. So I think for us, as Warren said, one, we were passionate about it, but we also wanted to kind of encapsulate what we've learned, mm-hmm. right? So there is a process. So we did quite a bit of research here. We talked to 40 plus sales executives, probably 1,000 plus years of experience. We surveyed 100 sales organizations that did sales transformations. And so, you know, success leaves clues, right? What are those clues? What's the process somebody can follow? And if you look at our 7 steps, implement is the 6th step. It's not the first step. A lot of companies start with it. And you got to do all these things up front to ensure your success on the back end. So I think it was really our experience, our research, and then, you know, how do we, as Warren said, dispel this notion that there's a single silver bullet that you're going to raise sales. And I think, as everybody in this room knows, it's if it was that easy, we probably wouldn't be a business.
That's true. And people are often out there promoting and pitching that, hey, I've got the answer here. All you need is this book or this training DVD, and you will then take your sales, you know, through the roof. But again, it's more of a holistic approach and really dialing it into what your customers need and what your, you know, market you're in as well. But you can apply this book to any industry.
You absolutely can, Ryan. And I think, and not to dispel, there is value in some of the books and the techniques that are out there, right? So does everybody need to transform? Not necessarily. So one of the questions we typically wrestle with our clients is, do you need to transform or just drive a tweak in what you're doing? Mm-hmm. Transformation might be like next door, Newell Rubbermaid, that's based here in Atlanta, Georgia. They just bought a company called Jarden Consumer. So think about them combining 2,000 plus person sales organizations. And if you have Michael and Warren both in Atlanta, both historically calling on Home Depot as an example, do you need both of us going forward, right? So how do you figure that out? So they'll be driving a major Salesforce transformation as they integrate those two companies.
But this also implements change into an organization. And that in itself is a hard thing to adopt for such a large corporation. We have a show that features here a couple times a month just on change agents and change agents exclusively. And so talk about that. You're implementing change, but you're also implementing new sales processes.
That's right. And I think sales is a little bit different of a function than some others. It's not HR. It's not IT. It's not operations. I mean, you have people that are highly entrepreneurial, independent, right? Do their own thing. We talk about in the book, there's some kind of intrinsic resistance to change, particularly in the sales force. And so, you know, they're out there every day selling themselves, selling their offerings, right? You got to like who I am and what I'm selling. So it's a hard function from a change standpoint. And in a lot of organizations, there's a lot of scar tissue.
Right.
Because, right, they've done all these programs and it's program du jour or what have you, right?
Yeah. And so here we are with a new program, a new change. Can you talk to us about any past success stories that have adopted this methodology and really seen some good growth behind it?
Yeah, as Michael said, you know, in the book, we talk about a couple of examples from our experience and from our research. And one example is a $2 billion company, Central Garden and Pet. They sell household brands like Amdro, Pennington Grass Seeds. So if you go into Home Depot, Walmart, or Lowe's, or your local mom and pop garden store, you'll find some of their brands. And you know, like we said earlier, they wanted to set out and transform their sales organization from more of a product carrying item price type transactional force to more category experts. So over the course of a couple of years, they worked and reformed their team and did everything from new talent, new sales process, training, sales leadership, and technology. And in the end, in one of their major sales teams, grew sales by more than 22% year over year, while reducing their cost of sales by 17%. So a great success for them. And again, you could learn more details about that and others in the book.
That's fantastic. And who is this audience designed for the book? Who do you envision reading this book more than else?
So I'd say for the most part, you're looking at the chief sales officer, right? This could be an SVP of sales, EVP of sales, somebody who's heading up sales, but also the C-suite as well. So the CEO, the COO, the CFO. I mean, if you look at sales is the revenue engine of the business, right? If we look at a stock price, 30 to 50% of that stock price is sales related, right? In terms of top line growth. We can look at Apple, just got kind of hurt in the market. They did very well on the bottom line, but they didn't grow the top line, which becomes harder. So that's kind of the design, but I think also sales directors, sales managers, and frankly, those in marketing as well, and in other heads of functions within the business, because ultimately all the other functions eat off sales, mm-hmm. right? In terms of that coming in, operations, et cetera. But those are kind of the key folks.
And so certainly people can pick up this book also on their own and kind of dive into it. Maybe they want to take it to their organization, whether they're heading up the sales team or whatever. What was the book writing process for you two guys like? Did you spend afternoons at the country club sitting around martinis writing the book together, or did you lock yourself in the office and didn't come out till it's done?
Yeah, so Ryan, it was quite the project. So as first-time authors, I mean, there's a statistic for everything, but I think they told us that 90% of first-time authors never complete the project.
Right.
So we're happy about that. Paul Gray McMillan, our publisher, was certainly happy about that. But, you know, like the other folks that you talked to this morning, with us running a small business ourselves, it was a night and weekend project. So
okay.
It took us 2 years. As Michael said, we did some primary research, and it wasn't in a straight line either. We had an expectation on the outset of what the book would look like. We did some research. We got rejected by a couple of publishers right out of the gate. We finally landed one, Palgrave. They worked with us. We made some changes. So it definitely was a journey, a two-year journey. But we're certainly a very fulfilling effort for us and our team.
But 2 years, so you would work independently, write some things, and you come back. And then, Warren, you'd write some on your own, and then you compare notes. How did that look? You know, with two people writing a book, it's sometimes even more challenging than one.
It is. And so we went back and forth and just iterated, you know, on different copy. And I think we probably both had strengths and weaknesses in terms of how we write, in terms of the language. And I think we wanted to make it very accessible for people. So this is not a theoretical exercise, right? Very pragmatic, very actionable. It has a lot of action steps and things you can do. And it's not a theoretical exercise.
Right. You know, in the title itself, it says 7 steps to Salesforce transformation. What are these 7 steps? Can you share with our listeners?
So the 7 steps are, one is drivers, right? What's driving the change, right? And we did some research around this. You can read more. You know, the other one is vision, right? So where do you want to get to, right? Here's where I am. Here's where I want to get to. So what's that vision look like? Third is case for change. What is your case for change? In some organizations, it's ROI, but also kind of your change effort. 4 is support. Sales can't be an island. You need to have cross-functional support and bring in the other players. We found that in a lot of our research. 5 is roadmap. So where you are today, where do you want to get to? What does that gap look like? What are the priorities, et cetera? 6, as I said previously, is implement. A lot of companies start here and fail. So you got to do the stuff up front. And then lastly, last but not least important is sustain. How do you sustain the results? A lot of companies go back to the status quo. And then we have some other pieces in the book about the future of sales transformation. There's a lot of things going on in sales, from generational stuff, from technology, et cetera. But those are the 7 steps. There's also some levers. I won't go into those. But those are the 7 steps to Salesforce.
Good. So there's a little teaser for you, audience. So you want to get out there and pick up that book. You'll have to read more for yourself if you want to find out how you can implement that for your organization as well. So what's on the horizon for you guys, 2016? Another book in the works? Are you just going to be out there promoting a book tour maybe?
Well, if Palgrave is listening, we're certainly promoting the book as it is now. As Michael said, though, we're interested in this trend. So 41% of sales organizations are comprised of baby boomers who, as we all know, are retiring over the next decade and a half and being replaced by millennial talent. So now our next project is we're researching how will the millennials affect the world of sales, and how will organizations and sales organizations have to react and adapt to differences in talent, motivation, et cetera. So our next project is going to look at generational selling.
Yeah, technology is going to come into that somewhere, because it's changing. You know, today's technology is not tomorrow's.
That's right.
And then after that, who knows what the world has in store for us. So please share with our listeners how they could find the book or more information about your company.
Yep, both. You can find the information about the book and the company at symmetricsgroup.com. And our book, 7 Steps to Salesforce Transformation, is available on Amazon.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. And please do come back, be a guest in the studio. Bring along a satisfied client, maybe someone who's read the book, implemented it, and seen great success. We'd love to have that here on air. And for our listeners, I know they would find great value in that. So thank you again for joining us. Thank you to all of our guests for joining us here today on Atlanta Business Radio. It's been a fun and informative show. And we look forward to another episode coming up at Wednesday at 10 a.m. So make sure you tune in there. So we are Business Radio X, amplifying the voice of business. If your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page of the website, businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan McPherson. We will see you on the radio.